This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
The aftermath of every social revolution brings about change. Cultural norms and landmarks shift as our minds and hearts expand beyond the familiar. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose in the land of the living. This is our time to renew, revive, and restore the hope lost to the busyness of life. This is our time to dig again and rebuild from the storms of our past on a solid footing that holds. Welcome to The Foundation.
The Foundation. Foundation.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Are we good? Are we okay? I'm just trying to check with you. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Howard Grant in your company. This is The Foundation. Thank you so much for tuning in. 96.9 FM Radio, Guardian Radio. So happy to be with you today. I am truly ecstatic, I think, on the fifth day here of the month. First, in the year of Jubilee. I think we got to get a little deeper into those particular things. I think a lot of persons are really doing some assessments, trying to be able to figure out where they are. A few years back, I've come to a conclusion. We used to do like a vision board. Let me tell you the story. What happened? We did a vision board a few years back, right? My wife, my kids, we all did their, everybody had their separate thing. And the concept of a vision board is kind of put everything in there. Some of the aspirations you have over the next 300 and some days, some of the ideas you have, where you want to move to and what you want to do, right? So we set up the vision board. And in setting up the vision board, you put God at, well, this is what we did. We put God at the center. And then some of the ideas that we have for building, spiritually, physically, mental, emotional, all these things kind of encompass the center, which was God. And as we built that and kind of did everything, we did about, the last time we did it was about 2 years ago. As we did that, my wife's mother fell ill, right? She fell ill. And this was a tough time for us. We were hoping, you got that kind of a blind faith and hope that everything is going to be okay. And as she got in this kind of a position, we looked around, tried to figure out exactly what was what. We, scrounged up whatever we could to be able to assist. I sent my wife off. I said, go, baby, go check your mother. They went over there. They did all these particular things. And we're sitting here with the vision board. In our minds, we're pursuing the things that the vision board has. In our minds, we're supposed to be moving towards this. There, in our minds, in our finite minds, in this carnal mind, there wasn't supposed to be anything that actually approaches outside of this. And so what we do is, rather than actually create a vision board, because we have no control over, talk to me, we have no control over what life brings. Our only response, our responsibility is how we respond to what is there and what comes to us. And so now you have to kind of fill yourself with this kind of a patience and faith and so forth and so on, with a very clear acceptance that some things will happen, and whatever you can do by yourself, you just pray that a higher power, a divine power, can be able to help you go through this. So I did away with the vision board. But it's truly a time of reflection for me. I don't know about you guys. Have you just kind of dived into the busyness of life? Have you just kind of, let's just get on with it. I know that a lot of persons are just trying to give you the rhythm of life, the rhythm of that kind of position that you've used to, that you're used to. And you want more of this? This is what we're giving you. We're giving you more of this, right? But has there come a time that you reflect? Or are you so inebriate? Talk to me. I ain't gonna lie to you. I drink more church wine over the weekend. Bishop, forgive me. Praise God. I was with my Anglican family. I wasn't soaked, but we was damp. Praise God. We went to church. I went to Anglican church in Eight Barrock. And We had, first time I've been to church in years. In years in Eight Mile Rock. I have not been to that church in years. I used to be an altar boy at St. Stephen's Anglican Church in Eight Mile Rock. And had an opportunity to be able to go there with my family. Absolutely beautiful church. Always decorated. Always with the poinsettias, but Grammy called it poinsettias. And, you know, the altar is beautiful. But we went up for, because, you know, I am confirmed. So I could have the bread and wine. So as I go up to have the little bread and wine, due to protocols, due to COVID protocols, we didn't have the wine, but only the bread. So I said, well, no, baby, we can't have the body. We need the body and the blood. Talk to me, right? So I went up, I got the blood. I said to my mother, I said, Mommy, we don't have the body. I said, I see you got some church wine home. We have to deal with that when we get home, right? So I say that to say over the weekend, in that kind of a celebratory mode over the holidays, we were in such a space that it was nostalgic for me to kind of remind me of a time that was. And I'm telling you, man, I had one of the best Christmases I've ever had with my family. And I really enjoyed that. But it wasn't a time for me to do reflection at that time, not just yet. Reflection should be done in a quiet space for you when you can kind of dive within yourself. And in diving in within yourself, you can kind of make the assessment of where you are. And so I've been doing that over the past few days. Yeah, well, you know, I got to set up the show and, you know, invite guests and do this and do that. But every time I have an opportunity to be able to kind of go through it, I do that. I have a couple books that I set up for me, right? I have one book that I have just put ideas in. If I wake up and I have a particular type of dream and I have an idea, I want to write that. If I'm sitting down, I talk to myself a lot. My children say, Daddy, you're a little bit crazy. I said, you know, I think my parents were related, right? So I say, that's okay. You just let me do my thing. So I write down my ideas, and there's another book that I wrote in. And during my reflection period, during my time, I just wanted to read something for you that I put in. Last year was a year of tribulation for me. Man, talk to me. I mean, Jesus. It can't be me one. It can't be me alone. Last year was a struggly year for me. It was a difficult time. And I give God praise that we're here and we're living. But during that time, I moved from place to place. Some things happened. I've been waiting, all these things. Everything we anticipated did not come to pass last year. Everything. I anticipated some things happening. I prepared for it, and it just did not happen. Not the way that I assumed that it would. So I want to read something for you, and I just want to know whether or not you would have done the same thing. And if you don't, I'm hoping that we can kind of trigger something in you. Because guess what? It's time for us to get off this little stoop. And this kind of a lull, this limbo position, our expectation for the government to provide us with the change that we seek, rejection of anything that has spirituality to it, just looking for science to provide us with those particular things, and we're not getting those results, it's time for us to kind of move higher. So I just want to read this for you. You can get spiritual with you. I just do this, right? I wrote this in July of last year, and it says, starting anew brings many questions to mind. It forces you to evaluate and reevaluate your past decisions. How did I get here? Post-traumatic synopsis for an even deeper thinker forces you to push past the surface of your temporary discomfort, your momentary unease, into an overall evaluation of one's life. Am I in a good or bad place? Making this assessment without a value system is fruitless. Good is subjective. It morphs with convictions, with upbringing, with contention, with character, and the like. Good must be measured against supremacy, a supreme standard, divinity. It is not good enough to be better than the observed worse, or what you perceive to be the worse. Good transcends the environmental norms and relentlessly conforming social standards that genuflect to political correctness. Y'all people smart. Y'all understand what I say. Good transcends the environmental norms and relentlessly conforming social standards that genuflex to political correctness. And then I go on to say, I'm going to read the whole thing. That's about three pages I write. With this preamble, I do not consider myself good, in quotation marks. If anything, I would say I am distraught. I'm distant. I'm distracted. I'm drifting, but I'm not good. The obvious choice of words would have been the polar opposite of good, bad, juxtaposed to the embodiment and the sentiment of that which I cannot claim to be, which was good. But bad, despite its strength and socially acceptable access and its use, at the flick of a tongue, it's not the word that suits this situation. My unique circumstances, bad, in the true essence of the word, is just not me. Many speak to the ever-winding road of hell and how it's paved with good intentions, but I disagree. In the modern sense, the pavement would be the tar or the crude oil, that dark, thick bile that's been rejected and the residue of what has been redefined for production and productivity, growth, development, forward movement, kinetic energy. This thick, dark substance is just not it. I could get no deeper with y'all with that. But this is the level of introspection that we do at this time. The entire idea of this approach and, my gratitude for this opportunity to be able to sit here with you is the truly, and I just feel like it happens when it was supposed to happen. This is truly our year of Jubilee. We're supposed to be celebrating. We're supposed to be in a position where some things have happened. I see that the PLP administration is doing a great deal over the past few months, trying to ensure that some people get raises. We see that this is the inception of things being able to, your minimum wage being able to increase in the country. We see that unions are, happy. We see ZNS. Next week, we're going to be able to sit down with the chairman of ZNS. I just reached out to him, so we're going to be able to sit down and speak with him about those particular positions. We see that this administration is seeking to make some things happen, some change. But is it enough for us to be able to call this time a jubilant time? Do you feel alleviated of some of the burdens of yesteryear? Or do you anticipate more weight falling on your shoulders? You read the papers. In the midst of what's happening, you read the papers today. There's no more milk in this cow. Petroleum retailers up calls for changes to fix margin system. And they go on to talk about there's no more milk in this cow, one Vasco Bastian, the vice president of the Bahamas Petroleum Retailers Association, said yesterday that the onus is on the prime minister to act. The retailers are asking the government to change the profit model from the existing fixed margins and fully percentage-based models, which would allow more flexibility when the price of oil fluctuates. They go deeper into the conversation. If you read it, it's in The Guardian. Make sure you pick up your papers, guys, and check that out. It's in The Guardian, and it's on page 1 and 5. And at 5, it actually continues to say, sustainability of petroleum retailers whose budgets are stretched beyond belief. Bastian goes on to say, remember now, whenever the price of oil or gas goes up, the government makes more money, not us, is what he says. He said, the government of Bahamas is one who makes all the money from gas stations in New Providence. And when it goes up, they make more. When it's stable, they make money. They make the bulk. No matter how it swings, left or right, the government makes the money. And then he goes on to talk about, he says, retailers earn 54 cents on the gallon of gasoline. When the gallon of gasoline was $6.16, the gas station operators earned 54 cents, and the petroleum wholesalers earned 34 cents. The landed cost of the gas before value-added tax was $3.56 and $1.72. What it went to the government and the duties and the taxes. Now, when we read these things and we're seeing yet again agitation socially, in the midst of what I believe this administration is seeking to do by trying to provide subtly some alleviation. And let us just be very clear about this, because we can have these conversations here. This is Guardian Radio. We could do this. This is transparent and this is progressive conversations. So let's do this, right? And no pun intended. Let's do this. The truth of the matter is that I believe that this administration is sweeping that proverbial sidewalk clean. They're doing all the, you know, you ever see, you get your, I don't know if y'all used to sweep your house. I see some people that sweep things right to the back door and just leave it. But essentially, which is supposed to sweep that the sidewalk off also. So you sweep left, right, left, right, left, right, left, right, left, right. And I believe that this is what that administration is doing. This administration is seeking to sweep everything, all the hindrances, all the blocks, all the rocks, all the stubble out of the road for the path to the next general election. I believe that, well, any smart administration would do that. And so the low-hanging fruit that the former administration would have left there, the low-hanging fruit that was presented to us in promises and this kind of commitment from the former administration that was just left there and left a sort of unease in our spirits, I think the PLP picking that up. This is me. I think the PLP is doing their best to kind of pick that up. But is it enough? Because, you know, strategy is a part of this. Is it enough or is it too soon for them to do this? Has the burden, or do you feel the burden of our society over the past few years is being alleviated? I'm not talking from your political position. I'm talking about the fact that you didn't eat nothing and you had no money and you didn't make nothing when the PLP was in. That is not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about your proximity to leadership in the PLP or your proximity to leadership when the FNM was in and you got... I'm not talking about you. You is not in the part of the conversation. I am talking about the average Joe. I'm talking about the non-participation of non-participatory persons from a political standpoint. If you ain't into politics at all, if you're not in this position at all, talk to me. And you're not a recipient of anything directly that hands down from any political organization, do you feel alleviated? Are you still standing up on lines, waiting to be fed? Are you still having conversations about this kind of an idea that, all right, somebody can give me something? Let's talk about this. I want you guys to be a part of the conversation. We need to know true introspection of who we are as a people. Do you feel alleviated? Do you feel as though this is your year of Jubilee? Or are you still kind of counting the course? Say, Jesus, I can't make nothing happen. Give me a call, 325-4316, 325-4316, or hit me up on the text, 422-4796, 422-4796. Let's take this quick commercial break and be right back after this.
The Foundation.
The Foundation, the Foundation with Howard Grant. We'll be back right after this. The Foundation. The Foundation.
The Foundation. Here we go. J.S. Johnson Insurance agents are the best. Reliable service, they've been on the scene, protecting since 1919. J.S.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The new Guardian Radio app is here. Listen live to all our Guardian Radio shows and live video stream select programs in our studio. Get information about Guardian Radio shows and our hosts. Send messages, including text, email, and even call. All from our amazing new Guardian Radio app. Download it free today in your App Store for your Apple device or Play Store for your Android device. The all-new and improved Guardian Radio app.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Foundation. The foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. This is 96.9 FM Radio. Guardian Radio Fresh News starts with us. Smart talk all day, every day. So happy to be with you. My name is Howard Grant, and this is The Foundation. We're just talking about some stuff. We're talking about introspection, and I just wanted to take a few days to kind of do that. Yesterday, I had a great opportunity to be able to speak with my very good friend, none other than Ambassador Devin Rowe. And he brought a unique perspective from the church standpoint. Now, I know he ain't speak for all the church. He ain't gonna speak for all the church. But his strategic position as a man of the cloth locally gives him a vantage point. So when he speaks, and I really trust him. There's some preachers and bishops and stuff I know who would tell you what you want to hear. Not in a bad way. Not in a bad way. They can tell you some things in your face. But I know that they carry a different sentiment, right? And that's what we talk about, that political correctness, how men and women genuflect to political correctness. Socially, you know, it's taboo to say this. Let me not say this. And they kind of, you know, bow out gracefully and tell you this kind of a jive situation. Not in a bad way. You ain't want to cuss the people out or nothing like that. This is the rhythm of our society. And if the rhythm of our society is not as transparent, this kind of a translucent type thing, how can we be clear about the path that we're going? We meander towards tomorrow. We, like a drunken, you know, I mean, you ever see these people who are absolutely intoxicated that shift from left to right with an idea somewhere deep in their subconscious that I got to move in a particular direction. As their feet move, they don't have no true core set. I feel like that's where we are. And I feel like the eagerness of each political organization placed in this position causes them to move to that rhythm. They don't set their own pace. They move to the rhythm that was that exists based upon social standards and norms. It's kind of, and then they call it culture. That is a lie. Talk to me. Let's just be very clear about the situation. Let's be very clear. I had an opportunity last night, and I want to be as decent as possible. I have not incorporated myself. I've not involved myself in a great deal of things. You know what I mean? Like, you know, people getting together, this kind of grouping and stuff. I haven't deliberately, I've stepped away from that for one reason or the other over the past, I want to tell you, 10 years, 10, 12 years, right? And even if I, right after I got involved in politics with the DNA, right, that would have been the last time I would have involved myself. And you know what? It was my season to kind of separate because Jesus, what the F&M do to me? My God, praise God. I just want to put that out there. I should have known that I should have been in a hiatus. This should have been my quote unquote proverbial sabbatical. To step back and do some inflection. So you gotta look within yourself to figure out if this is where you're supposed to be. So I jumped the gun after I stepped back from the DNA, jumped the gun to kind of move towards some things politically within the organization FNM. And the way I was spanked, I knew that that couldn't be, well, flesh and blood couldn't do this. It was too deep. You understand me? So I strategically stepped away for some things. Last night, I involved myself in a conversation, a corporate conversation about direction. And one of the things, and this is just me trying to be as decent as possible, because y'all know way too much of my business. Next thing you're out here trying to knit it together. What are you talking about? Trying to crochet my business? The devil is a liar. Leave it alone. So let me be decent as possible, right? Last night, I had an opportunity to be able to sit down and have a corporate conversation about growth, the next steps, and what needs to happen. And one of the things the participants brought up that I heard repeated in that particular space was relevance. And I didn't understand. I honest to God, I just do not understand relevance. Relevance to who? Who are you trying to relate to? How are you trying to be? Is this passive? Is there an idea for growth that expands beyond this, but it only can fit into what you've seen before? What is relevance? Our country struggles with this idea of relevance. Our country struggles with this. Our country struggles with the idea of being relevant in the region, being relevant in the global conversation, being relevant from every perspective. Seeking to, what S&P say? That's what they say. Oh my God, they can blacklist us. They can greenlist us. Perpetually, relentlessly looking for relevance and this external acknowledgement and forgetting that we are the trendsetters. How did we forget that? How did we as a people forget that we set the trend in the entire region? I went to Cuba, had an opportunity to go to Cuba in 2000. You remember when 320 of us went there? I keep telling you this story. If you ain't know, you know today. Went to Cuba. We had an opportunity to be able to go to Cuba. I wanted to go to school. I really didn't want to go to school. I just wanted to learn Spanish because my eyes were set on Fort Lauderdale. And if you live, well, not South Florida. I wanted to move to South Florida. And I recognized that you needed to be bilingual to live in South Florida. Now, you can either learn Creole and live in Miami, certain parts of Miami, or you can learn Spanish. And so I, you know, kind of weighed it out. And in weighing it out, I said, I think Spanish is the way. They got significant relationships, they got business, they got this, they got that. Let me learn Spanish. I really didn't look like a half a Spanish man. Let me go over there and learn Spanish. So I set myself up, I say again, I learn Spanish. And I get in Cuba, on ton of women in Cuba. Jesus, Lord. It's a tremendous, my good, decent wife. She listened to my conversation. She didn't cuss me later, but let me tell the story. So you get there in Cuba, and we're amongst the entire Caribbean. You got Dominica, Antigua, Barbuda, Jamaica, Santo Domingo. I did not see any Haitians per se, but they were there. I mean, like from their country specifically, but they were there mixed in with all of us, right? And in seeing all of this, when we would go out in the evenings to the discoteca, to bailar, to have a good time, right? There would be like a gang of beautiful women around the little clubs, right? And as young men, you go there, you say, oh my God, these girls, oh my God. So we look like Americans, right? You got all the FUBU, the Jordans, the big jeans, all these things, the Timberlands, all of us dressed in a particular manner. And so even if they were engaged with other people, they would say, oh, mira, bahamense? They would ask us, are you a Bahamian? Yes, we're Bahamian. And the conversation instantaneously stopped with whoever they was talking with. The most unattractive of us was pulling up women. I only draw in this contrast to make you to understand that the literacy level in Cuba is 97%. And that's 12 million. It should be 12 million plus now. The literacy level and comprehension in Cuba, with a very clear understanding of who they are, where they are, and the region around them, and globally, 97% of these people are geniuses. And they knew in the midst of their genius that the Bahamas was the shining star in the Caribbean. even though, you know, some of us are well, technically, we're not in the... Listen, let's just be very clear about this. That ain't how we sell the country. So, based upon that, we were the shining stars in Cuba. Anywhere and everywhere our foot tread, we run the show. We, us, Bahamians. Stafford Sands' model of tourism that exists today, that many of us lament and say there needs to be modifications to it, why don't we do anything? That particular model, I read it before, I will read it again for you and get it. I think I have it in one of my phones, right? The article out of, I think it was the New York, the Miami Herald. I did some research and pulled it up. And pulling it up, I recognized that Stafford Sands, did some research on it, Stafford Sands went and pitched this concept in Miami, right? He pitched the concept for a particular type of tourism in Miami. There was a conference in Miami. He pitched the concept. He says, this is what we're going to be able to do in the country. While he pitched the concept, Hawaii was there because they were starting their own tourism board. You remember the Board of Tourism and the Nassau Tourism Board and the Paradise Island Tourism Board. These concepts birthed out of Stafford Sands. The exact same model today exists in Hawaii. Today. Now. That model was birthed out of us. White, black, indifferent. That's us. Conky Joe, pale, it don't matter how you call the people. That is us. That model for tourism that celebrated around the world was birthed here. In the United Emirates, they recognized the importance of being able to diversify out of oil. They know oil ain't gonna last forever. And in the midst of their genius, they recognize the one industry that is a true, well, you know, either that or the original industry. You ain't want to go to that. But the one industry that holds true, the one industry that all of us move into no matter how we move, is tourism. If I go from here to Auckland, I am a tourist. Tourism will happen because why? The human spirit desires to explore from here until the end of time. Until we are no more, we seek to go. And even the stories that come back from us, the first thing old people will say, oh, your spirit, what? Traveling. Traveling will never stop. The very first thing that they decided to do in building the Palm Islands, the World Islands, all these particular things, was identify the strongest people within tourism globally. Now, y'all ain't, I don't know if y'all see this the way I saw it, but when we saw them give us a suite last year, and all these, you know, they say they extended it to the entire world, they did all these particular things. Our government has forged relationship with them, the United Emirates, to try to be able to do some things there. And in doing all these things, the only thing I could see, talk to me, is them trying to identify the talent that exists here and capture it for themselves. They bring the whole world there and say, explain our... we can give you an opportunity to be able to kind of expose or show us what your talent is. And in doing all of that, ladies and gentlemen, let's just be very clear. I believe they were strategically in a position where they could now observe and document what makes us unique. Seeking to incorporate that in this new industry that they're building. We don't even know what's going on. All we know is we're doing what we do. We birthed that. We birthed these things. But locally, we're having a conversation about this idea of being relevant. We trendsetters, baby. We go-getters, jet-setters. This is what we do. This comes out of us naturally. And the world seeks to figure out how we do it. And we ain't get that yet. We still looking around the region, around the world, trying to keep up. And no one is sitting down making to strengthen and modify some of the things. All you need to do is go to Terrorism 2.0. The PLP know how to do that very well. Talk to me. Very well. Urban Renewal 2.0, Tourism 2.0. And you don't have to label it like that, but we know that we have to move to another dimension. But you don't move away from the things that you know naturally. Come on, talk to me. You just dig deeper to get to a higher level. We're going to be talking about that today, guys. If you want to be a part of the conversation, 325-4316, 325-4316. Or hit me up on the text line, 422-4796, 422-4796. Are we reactive in our position? Are we seeking this relevance? Who are we trying to be relevant to? Can't be to the people, the 347 million American people who can't wait to go to the Bahamas. Ah, they just came up with this concept of, I'm going to Disney World. They won't go to the Bahamas, baby. They come in here even if we was in a shack. So where is this concept of relevance? Where does that come from? Let's talk about it. Let's take this quick commercial break and be right back. This is The Foundation, guys. I'm Howard Grant and your company. Let's take a quick commercial break and be right back after this.
The Foundation. Foundation.
The Foundation with Howard Grant. We'll be back right after this.
The Foundation. The Foundation.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
With so much going on in the world today, only accepting cash at your business can be risky. Let Fidelity offer you and your customers safety, convenience, and the flexibility of a fixed or mobile terminal. Take it with you, on the move and on the go. Because business should never stop. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit us at any of our branches.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The new Guardian Radio app is here. Listen live to all our Guardian Radio shows and live video stream select programs in our studio. Get information about Guardian Radio shows and our hosts. Send messages, including text, email, and even call. All from our amazing new Guardian Radio app. Download it free today in your App Store for your Apple device or Play Store for your Android device. The all-new and improved Guardian Radio app.
Foundation. The Foundation. The Foundation. The Foundation. Foundation. Foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The Foundation with Howard Grant right here on 96.9 FM Guardian Radio. So happy to be in your company. It's an absolutely wonderful day. I like this kind of cool. I might as well tell you the truth, right? Your Nassau people is be... Listen, in the middle of winter, it's too hot. I went to Grand Bahama for a day. I come back sniffling, hoarse, the whole thing. I loved it, right? You know what you mean?
I had an opportunity to wear a little sweater, right? My wife said, oh my God, you didn't bring a scarf? What are you doing? Right? I said, calm down, baby, right? I didn't assume that it would be as chilly as it was, right? But it was kind of cold, right? So I like this kind of temperature right here, right? It's cool. In the evening, you could kind of chill out and do your thing, right? So it's a beautiful thing. Ladies and gentlemen, please be a part of the conversation. 325-4316, 325-4316, or hit me up on the text line, 422-4796. Today, we're just talking about some stuff, right? We're just talking about some stuff. We're doing introspection. We are taking an assessment of where we are in this time of Jubilee, in this year of Jubilee, in this year of a golden Jubilee, right? Just asking some questions. Do you feel jubilant? Do you feel that this is a sense of joy, right? There's a stark contrast between happiness and joy, right? I think happiness, and I've learned this over the years, I think someone called the other day and asked, they started to have a conversation about it. Happiness is a construct that is designed for this realm that we're in, this land that we're in, this space that we're in, the tangibles, right? But the idea of joy is an intangible thing that alleviates even from a deeper depth. And so I don't believe that we have in our country been happy. And for the most part, a lot of us have been kind of complacent and content, right? We learn to be content. Grammy say make do. So we learn to be content over the years. But there was a underlining joy of knowing who we are and celebrating the things that we celebrate, looking forward to those particular things. I believe quietly, deep within yourself, you're so happy to be Bahamian. Talk to me. Just to be here, just to be able to engage, especially when we start to look around the world. These people can't do what we do. They don't have that liberty to move the way that we do. It's a wonderful thing to be a Bahamian. Have we missed that? Has that joy left us? So that's what we're talking about. And then we're getting deeper with the conversation to talk about our relevance and whether or not we are relevant. What does that mean? I just need clarity. If you have any clarity on that, don't give me no Webster situation, because I got my dictionary also. But I need clarity. I need clarity. What does that mean to you? Are you seeking to be relevant? I have never. I don't know what time that I sought to be relevant. I'd never, never. I don't know how to. I associate that with trying to fit in. I always stick out like a sore thumb. Some for my walk in the room, I big and red. Jesus Christ, who's this big man? Who's big red? For my get here, I know I'm seen. And that ain't always a good thing. But that's just something I had to struggle with and deal with over the years. When I was young, people cussed me out for it. You think you is? I never thought these things, ma'am. I guess you think about this. And so people say, you think you is? I never thought that. Obviously, that's what's in your mind. So I knew relevance and this fitting in was never for me. So if I can fit in, I might as well stand out and do so with style and grace. Amen? That's how I view the Bahamas. Y'all can hate me all you want and be angry with me and say, how are you wrong? But I have a view in my mind, an idea of who y'all are. Every one of y'all. Y'all Bahamian people, I talking about y'all. I, in my heart, know you. I went to school with you. I watch you grow. You love this country. You were afraid, like everybody else, and slipping out and not being able to have enough to take care of what we need to take care of. But our grandparents never had that issue. You talk to mama, child, I got 12 living children. From she say living, you have to have a very clear understanding that some died. When I went to Turks and Caicos, granduncle them took me out in the bush. And they say, Bala,
That's there where everyone used to give birth right there. All the children were born right there. And I say, that shack? Yeah, that's where all the children were born right there. Listen to me. When we had our son, Gabriel, a few years back, it wasn't the easiest of deliveries. It wasn't the easiest of pregnancies. And we had to go to the doctor, and my wife had to do all manner of things just to ensure that we can be able to have a healthy child and a good birth, right? Take medicine and shots and this and that and all these. This is a lot. I promised God I wasn't going to do that. I said, Lord, I'm not putting this woman through that no more. Even though I want 5 more children, I'm not going to put her through that no more. I can't even tell her I want all these children. I can kill this woman, right? I said, let me leave this alone. Let me leave this alone, right? Me and Jesus have a big conversation. I said, Lord, I'm not going to do this to a woman no more. And then I think about my grandparents and my great-grandparents who had our forefathers in the bush. We hear. And there's an important factor in that for us to be grateful for the fact that we exist. And our existence didn't, we're not here to fit in, man. It's only 400,000 of us, and maybe even less, if we even get technical. It's time for us to stand out. Let me read a text before we get out of this. It says, great topic. The world marks the manner of our bearing. As a school teacher of 17 years, we need to teach more about bohemianism and pride. Show the value of our country. These kids will sell their birthright for pennies because they don't see any value. That's our fault, man. That's our fault. That is our next text. This is Howard, you're back. That's great. Thank you, man. I do appreciate that. I think we forgot ourselves. You get and that's what I do in the intro. You're lost to the busyness of life. I tell you, I get cussed out in the barbershop when I said, what happened? Everyone in 8 Mile Rock and in the family of islands who build their house did so on the strength of the community. Now, with this idea of moving towards the city, you do so on the strength of you as an individual. This idea of it takes a village to raise a child has escaped us entirely. We only live in a constituency, in a community, in a settlement. But we don't have no village. You don't even know these people. You seek a village out, though. Every Friday, you will go to Adelaide. Because you know that that is where community exists. You will go to Gambia just to stand up around. Because that is where community exists. Let's go to Fox Hill. That is where community exists. But when you come Carmichael, when you go Coral Harbor, when you go out east, when you go Village Road, there's no community there. So let's talk about these things, guys. I know we got to take a commercial break so we can be able to get into the news, but I want you guys to participate in the conversation. Is this too much for you? Am I far off? Have you even deduced these particular things, or are you so wrapped up in your position and this kind of an idea that I owe this one, I owe that one, I got to do this, I got to do that, and you forget about who we are? When are we going to renew, revive, and restore this idea of the Bahama land? When? It's time for us to do this, guys. Let's talk about these things, and let's just be very transparent about it. It's introspection, man. What do we need to do to get to a better space, a better place? That's what this is all about, guys. Let's take this quick commercial break and be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I'm Howard Grant in your company. This is The Foundation. We'll be right back after news.
Foundation. The Foundation.
The Foundation. We'll be back right after this.
The Foundation.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Foundation.
foundation. The foundation. The foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The Foundation with Howard Grant right here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. So wonderful to be in your company on this beautiful... Is it Thursday already? Is it Thursday? What's the day? Is it Thursday or Friday? Is it Thursday? Wednesday? Is it Thursday? Wow. I mean, the holiday just messing us right up. I kind of scared for you all over the weekend, though. This is a holiday, what, next week, Tuesday? Which is wild. Talk to me. Huh? For all of you who enjoy a little inebriation, for all of you who like a little taste, you get rest Friday, Sunday, I know you ain't going to church. You got to get sober quickly for work on Monday, and then you're back at it. You are going to be off your rockers. So we pray for you in advance. Amen? Just be decent, man. Do so in decency and in order. Right, these weekends are going fast, and this time is going fast, and I hope that you got yourself together and kind of assessing where you are and where you're moving to. If you're just tuning in, guys, the conversation that we're having today is just truly about introspection, where we are as it relates to our relevance locally, socially, globally, regionally, and whether or not even if we should move towards that relevance. My argument is that we've never been relevant. We've always been trendsetters. We've always gone with our gut. We've always gone with that kind of an impartation that exists within ourselves. And we've crafted this idea and moved with it. We've always done that. And I give you examples of even the model of tourism. The reason why you will have hell as it relates to moving to the... Now, this ain't me saying, let's not do it. Right? But the reason that you do this is because you're reactive. And we've always gotten bitten in our reaction. If the government of the Bahamas, both administration, this and the former administration, sought to identify something that's happening globally and jump on that bandwagon, talk to me. Man, watch me get heavy with the situation. Jumping on the bandwagon led to what we see now. Nah, they ain't got no crystal ball. They can't see nothing. But you could contrast something. What John Rawls did with the fiat dollar, with the sand dollar, and the global recognition that came thereof, talk to me. That kind of praise that came as a result of what we saw coming out of the Central Bank of the Bahamas from the governor. If you contrast that to the pursuit that the administrations have had to latch themselves on to this new thing that's FTX, you'd recognize where our strengths are. Our strengths lie in creativity, not in this conjoining. Talk to me. Let's just be very clear about the situation. Hit me up, 325-4316, 325-4316, or on the text line, 422-4796. We got a caller on the line. Caller, you're on the line with us live. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Howard.
Hey, what's up? What's up?
Right here, man. Your conversations always seem to be very insightful, man. Yeah, you know. you're spurring people's imaginations and upper thoughts, and thus it's a delight to always basically contribute to your show.
I appreciate you, my brother. I got my halo here. So
there you go.
That's what it is. No, I'm just kidding.
what you have said all along, I am in total agreement with you. I believe that as a people, we have not learned how to celebrate each other. Everyone brings a certain essence to the mix that we have here. But, you know, it often reminds me of the biblical fact where it says a prophet is not known in his own country. Mm-hmm. We don't celebrate each other. We are too clannish as a people. And when I say clannish, instead of celebrating everyone, all behemoths, celebrating each other, we put ourselves into these pockets, these clans, whereas, well, you're Bahamian, but you're not a part of us because either political persuasion or religion or whatever. And this is why we have this difficulty in the country. You said something quite profound that really caught my interest when you talk about our relationship with Hawaii. You know, Hawaii is all the way on the west coast of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And there it is. There are so many significant that we share with Hawaii. For instance, right down to the pineapple plantation. They got that from the Bahamas. You know, and yet they are thriving in that industry. And yet here in the Bahamas, we are not thriving.
What we say? After we've already gotten into it, then we come back and say, well, the soil is porous and we can't grow any. Stop it.
You know, and this is the thing that baffles me. Tourism. We have introduced tourism in this region. Many other Caribbean countries copied the model that we have here. And they are very, very, they're doing very well in the tourism product. Not saying that we aren't as well, but we are actually the flagship. We're supposed to be the leaders still in this region. But yet, we have let that slip through our fingers. And I'll close on this one point that always irks my spirit, Howard, as a seasoned hotelier. You know, it baffles me how we have all of these persons who have helped to hone and shape their certain calling in the hospitality hotel sector. But yet, our people, our leaders, have found it fit to have many of us removed from the equation. We're sitting behind the sidelines with all the knowledge, all the tech, all the expertise, all these things, and yet we are not allowed to have a front row seat to participate in bringing about the product that we have for decades brought to the forefront. Why is that? There's no need to reinvent the wheel. It's already here. We need to get all the right spokes in the right positions so we can move this tourism product we have to the next level. And that's what's required. But our leaders are visionless, and they do not see what some of us who have been in the industry have seen. And lastly, I hope to see the point when we stop celebrating the same people over and over and over and over again in this industry and allow the small man who has helped to build the industry, give him his recognition while he's alive. You know, and this is something that baffles a whole lot of people. But I'll close on that point, Howard. Thanks for taking my call.
I appreciate you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to be a part of the conversation, 325-4316, 325-4316, or hit me up on the text line, 422-4796, 422-4796. Here's a text. It says, your guest yesterday touched on an unchurched generation. Everyone says, get back to basics. But how? 30 plus years ago, when I was still a child, we ain't had no small screens in our hands daily with the internet. The church has not evolved enough. Where are the meeting rooms, the free Wi-Fi, the desire to teach financial literacy, helping them with real career development? Let's get honest and get real. It's a much difficult world for these It's a much difficult world for these children. I don't know if it was a much different world for these kids or it's a difficult world. Either way, it's interchangeable. I accept what you're saying. I agree. And in my agreement, this is not haphazard. I think sometimes we have a tendency from this vantage point when we engage each other socially, you know, I'm behind the mic. You right there, you in your car or you're in your house and you're listening wherever we are, right? And as we, you know, as Jeff says, you know, I literally trying to stir your spirit. That's all I do. That's what I come here for. That's what I come here for. I literally come here to stir your spirit. I need not talk about every Jesus thing that people are talking about. You have tons of that conversation in your barbershop here and your beauty salon with your auntie. You can talk about these things. But who can trouble your spirit? Let me trouble your spirit. And trouble it with the idea of lack of progression. And the fact that you know that we're supposed to be moving, baby. We're supposed to be moving. Now, Jeff hit on something when he said visionless leaders. There is, and I got to find it for you. There is a story that I read. There's a joke that I know and the story that I read. I can't tell you the joke. Grammy told me that joke, and it's way too dirty for... Woo! It is way too dirty for radio. Amen? But there's a story that I want to tell you. It's a biblical story, and I have to find it for you so I can give you that reference point. I will find that for you.
before we leave the show. But the story goes that there was a problem that was unsolvable. Right? No one can solve this particular problem. So everyone came together trying to rectify this problem. And they decided to identify the local men to kind of engage them. And the local man told them, well, if you do this, he's a local wise man, right? He's a poor man. And he said, well, if you do this, this, and this, and I kind of abbreviate the story. He said, if you do this, this is where you will find the change and you could find a true sense of growth. They did that and it was able to rectify the problem. It was a solution. It wasn't a Band-Aid. They provided a solution for the problem. He provided a solution for the problem. But he never got any praise, any accolades, anything like that. And so I go back to that story. The answers that we seek for the forward movement of us as a nation exist right here in this nation. We don't need one consultant, beige, off-white, pale, or any other color, red, yellow, black, or white, to come from any external part of the world outside of this country to tell us how to rectify these problems. The answers exist within us. We've proven that time and time again. We've proven that we get the answers. And we have left the answers on the table. I could give you endless examples of models that we've set for the world. Did you know Airbnb's birth was people to people? Talk to me. Maybe you didn't know that. I'm sure Seattle tell you the story before. When it was in San Francisco, they remember us. This is an empire. These people looking at this globally. They're making money. They don't own one hotel nowhere. And making buku dollars. You've created that. The idea of behemianization has been rejected. And I don't believe that our leaders are visionless, but I believe they're spineless, many of them. Let's just talk like that. We could do that. I believe a great deal of them lack the testicular fortitude to make the decisions to move forward. Why? Because behemianization was the anchor that's supposed to liberate us as a people. It provided the base, the foundation for us to grow as a people. You rejected that because a couple dollars, somebody slides you out their golf bag. You've rejected that because of your desire to be able to get more and more and more. You have sold us out. Many of the leaders have sold us out. And the only thing left for a great deal of you to do is to find a tree like Judas. Talk to me. That's it. Because you know that you were called with a call. You know that there are many that are called, but you were chosen to lead the Bahamian people to a place that shimmers, man, that continues to shine. We are the leaders of the new school. I don't know if you believe that. You may feel broke right now. You may not have it right now. You may feel like you touch your pockets, you say, Jesus, not again, God. I can't afford gas, but that's not changing the fact that you have a purpose inside you, a purpose to contribute to greater good. You're selling us out, man. You get into leadership and sell us out. You find yourself in here and the first thing you say, well, you know, I can't lose my job. Sir, we gave you this job. Stop it. We didn't give you that to serve your political organization and to ensure that you could find yourself in a kind of cushy position. We gave you that to work, man. A great deal of these people are not working. Y'all out here fluffing and floating. You're not working. I'm telling you, you ain't working. There's a great deal of things that needs to be started in this from this administration standpoint. If you truly care about preservation and moving forward, customer service should be the first thing. Howard, why do you perpetuate all the time you want to talk about tourism and these things? We need to do away with tourism. How? And you get to Miami next week.
How? Miami, the South Florida economy making billions of dollars off of us. How? How? You're getting ready to go to Miami. Or maybe Raleigh, North Carolina, because we get flights going there. You can't wait till flights go directly to New York if they ain't got some already. So tourism isn't stopped for them, but it's stopped for us. This is what we do. The world wants to come here. The other day I saw a clip with Wesley Snipes, right? I don't know who the lady was, but you know, it's a clip that floats around, right? Wesley Snipes said, yeah, man, John Canoe. Did you watch the clip? Did you see that? Right? Did you guys see that on Facebook? I'm watching a clip, Wesley Snipes, fresh out of jail. You remember he was in there for some tax stuff, right? He's out now, doing his thing. Excellent movie I watched the other day with him and Kevin Hart, by the way. I enjoyed that. I think it was on Netflix. Enjoyed that, right? So I'm watching this. And Wesley's dancing. He says, yeah, man, John Canoe. And the lady, forgive me if I don't know who her name is. Maybe she should, I should know her name, right? But she says, well, what you know about any John Canoe? He said, I'm a Bahamian man. I laugh, I look at it, and I recognize if Maxine Waters, she could sit up here. If we could have Ocho Loco, Chad, come down here, and so many others. The other day we just saw Latre put some stuff on there from Chris Brown, retweeting what's happening with John Canoe. The entire world knows about who we are. And you are here screaming, well, let's get rid of tourism. What are you talking about? I don't think you should bastardize and capitalize on the culture that exists in our space. I think you should find a space to expose these things and bring things in. I was extremely upset with the former administration when they decided to tax Airbnbs. Extremely. When I saw the former member of parliament for, what the agony was again? But in his capacity as Minister of Tourism, stand up and talk about the percentage and the taxing of Airbnbs and moving in that particular direction. I thought it was poor. I thought it was horrible. I really did. Because I never got no concessions to build my house. The government gives concessions to build hotels. The government gives concessions to all these major hotels. You can bring in your you bring in your furniture, you bring in your this, you bring in your that, duty-free, all these particular things. Only thing, if you're ever changing it out, you can't sell it. The government have to ensure that it's destroyed, so forth and so on, right? But we've never been given those concessions. I got to build my house. I got to go down and pay Brent Simonet for my house when I go get my money. And because I've hit hard times and my family made a decision to make modifications to create a space that people could come in and enjoy this, not because I'm out here trying to be a patriot, not because I'm out here saying, oh my God, I think we're very good. I think we could bring people. No, because I need to make some money. This little piece of money I'm making is not good enough. And then instantaneously, the government recognizes that this sector is booming, let's tax it. I thought it was poor. But you're taxing it and not providing me the concessions. There should be some equality in these areas. There should be some reciprocity in these areas. There should be something given back to me. You're having a conversation about eradicating tourism entirely. And don't know that's the one sure thing that will be here till the end of time. Elon Musk and what's his name from Virgin Airlines going into outer space and creating spaces for tourists to get into the outer space. How can tourism ever stop? Let's have clear conversations about these things. Guys, if you want to be a part of the conversation, please do 325-4316, 325-4316, or hit me up with a text 422-4796, 422-4796. I got a couple of texts here. Let me just be this. When? Let's do it. Say,
When the voice of the people is heard regarding issues that are being discussed year after year, like dealing with shanty towns, dealing with illegal breaching or boundaries or borders, establishing and seriously addressing our sovereign wealth fund, cleaning up the environment, enforcement of our law, whether it's Bahamians or illegals, breaking our laws, do I need to say more? All of these banded approaches all of these band-aid approaches to issues are not impressive. Let's do some real work, MPs, Mr. Prime Minister. It's a good text. I dropped my wife this morning to work, and as we're driving down Gladstone Road, we have a conversation. She said, they fixing this road. I said, yeah, I see they fixing it. They look like they're only putting a new surface on the situation. I said, they were supposed to do the dual carriage. So she and I start talking. She said, I think that alleviate much. I said, I don't think so. She said, yes. So we're not talking. She said, I think it will, because everyone's not going in the same direction and some people could turn off. I said, I still don't think it. I said, because the idea is it's still going to bottleneck at the end. So no matter what we do, it's still going to bottleneck at the end. So as we free flow until we get to the end, and we're in here like a Coca-Cola bottle, squeeze up in here, waiting to be able to get out. So I said there needs to be real engineering, and whether it be an overpass or whether, I said there just need to be creativity tapped into these particular things. I said, because this is not a solution. This is a band-aid. Our country has thrived over the past 30 years on relentless band-aids. That's all it is. And while we celebrate this band-aid, and our former prime minister in his particular capacity drive up and down the road in the Jeep and wave to you like the queen about the band-aid that was created, there's still band-aids about the different directions for, listen, I know that it may provide some alleviation in comparison to how it was before, but it is not a solution. So I agree with that text. Let's see if we can read another text before we get out here. Howard, I agree that community does not exist much anymore in the large abundance, but it does in small pockets, and it exists with young teenagers in the neighborhoods. I live in Coral Harbor, and my neighbors and I are pretty close and always help one another when needed. I have actually hailed you twice in Budget Food around the corner. People are a lot more busy these days. You see what you put a plug in there for Budget? Praise God. Budget, come bring me a little advertisement. Praise God for you. Right? People are a lot more busy these days, and sometimes just want to get home, turn on the AC, and rest. Okay, I agree with you. But when I read this and I said, when you said that small communities does exist in pockets, the first place I thought of was the shanty town. That's the first place I thought of. But you know, that's just my mind. All right? Let me take this quick commercial break and be right back after this.
Foundation. Do you want quick and easy unlimited internet? For only $75 a month with a Live Soho, get unlimited data, a free Live SIM, plus an Huawei modem for just $49 for up to 15 users all at once. Get your Live Soho today by visiting any of our Live stores or check out our website or any of our social media pages. Terms and conditions apply. Alive, believe in best. Believe in best.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The new Guardian Radio app is here. Listen live to all our Guardian Radio shows and live video stream select programs in our studio. Get information about Guardian Radio shows and our hosts. Send messages, including text, email, and even call. All from our amazing new Guardian Radio app. Download it free today in your App Store for your Apple device or Play Store for your Android device. The all-new and improved Guardian Radio app.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Foundation. Foundation. The Foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The Foundation with Howard Grant right here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. So happy to be in your company. You can know me. You forget? Jesus, you're dating me. What? You forget? Don't forget, babe. This is me. So happy to be in your company. Guys, please text me or give me a call if you want to be a part of the conversation. 325-433-4316. 325-4316. Or hit me up on the text. 422-4796. 422-4796. Let's hit it up with a couple of these texts that's come through. I got a bunch of texts. Let's read it. So, great show, Howard. I worked to a major hotel for a few years. I was amazed to see how many guests would pay large amounts of money to come here and lay in our sun that we run from, to swim in our waters that we ride past, and to walk around safe, drink, to ride past, walk around safe drink at their leisure. And the list goes on. I lived in Kentucky for a few years, and I realized how much I missed those things. I came back home and loving every day God allowed me to have. I am a proud Bahamian. Keep up the great work, bro. I appreciate you, man. Thank you so much. You're back from Kentucky? My God. So it says that, let's read this. I am of the belief that our valuation of being Bahamian requires a rebranding of what it means to be Bahamian. The Ministry of Youth, Sports, and Culture, along with the Ministry of Education, needs to hold a conclave to come up with a new branding strategy. Being Bahamian should be considered valuable, held in high esteem, but it must translate to tangible things. A new standard has to be set. Let's leave you the next text, right? Get text on personal phone. It's my cousin named texting me. Let's see it. Right? So he cussing me, tell me, said, I sent you a text yesterday and you didn't read it. I did read the text, sir. Pull your life together. I did read the text. Right? So he sent me a text today. He says, we're not opening a Bahamas branch or islands in outer space. We better find stuff tangible or add to our economy now. Tourism is only an industry and shouldn't be the, in quotation, industry. I agree with you. It shouldn't be the, but that's not my point. My point is that there is a desire or an idea to eradicate tourism or move it down the scale. I think it's properly situated. I think it's supposed to be here at the pinnacle for who we are as a people and for what we offer. I think it's we are properly situated at the pinnacle of this kind of pyramid. Tourism. And then we identify what we can interchange with the situation. That's how I feel. I think that we are in a good position with that. Let's see if you can read another one. It says, Howard, we have to get our youngsters back in Sunday school. There are young people who are struggling trying to say the Lord's Prayer. We cannot get to the second and third base until we touch first base. The country has a rich spiritual history. I agree with that. So Richard Branson, that's his name. All right. Ocho Cinco. Yeah, this guy, I like you. You already correcting me. I can start this situation. You giving me the reminders of the job. Okay, I like that, right? Let's go. And let me read this next one. It says, hi, Howard. We have the same road issue by S.E. McPherson on Blue Hill, poor engineering, right? It says, Howard, you is a real Bahamian. The whole world don't know us, man. Excuse me.
I'm online a lot, and many times when I tell people I'm from the Bahamas, they have never heard of it. Who ain't never heard of the Bahamas? Where these people from? They might be the AIs, right? So he says, we Bahamians love hyperbole. We love to make the Bahamas more than it is. We know how backwards this place is, but we still will say that it is the best country in the world without merit or justification. It's just how your high school is the best in the country only because you went there. Well, don't fight me for it. Talk to me. Huh? If I don't know nothing, you ever see the people say, y'all Bahamians? That's how they start the conversation. One thing I don't like, but Bahamians, ma'am, where else you live? Where else you live? Did you ever live anyplace else? Huh? Who else you know this? You don't know the nature of anyone else. You've never studied anything else. Only thing you know is what you see, the Bahamian. But for me, watch me, I had an opportunity to live elsewhere. I just tell you. I didn't bend down TI. The Bahamas is the best. Why? Big exodus, all them come to live here. They want to try to get them back home with belonging status. That's one. I was there. And Cuba. In the midst of that, with all the education, just tell you that. In Cuba. We are the shimmering star in the region. And they know that. They know the value of our dollar. And they know the value of who we are as people. So that's two places for sure. I live these places. In Colorado, I had an opportunity to live over there. Oh my God, they love the Bahamas. Everybody want to come to the Bahamas. Everywhere I've gone, I ain't do no massive traveling, this extensive traveling, but anyone who has access to internet and understands what's offered globally understands that the Bahamas, now I don't want to, maybe you're one of them people, but my wife is the best. Talk to me. My wife is the best. Amen. I only got one wife. How dare I say another boy, a fellow wife is better than mine? It's big problems. I may not have a place to sleep. We'll go sleep with her then. Huh? Go lay by her. Let her cook for you. You think she better than me? That's big row. And that's the principle here. All this is pride. And kind of reminding ourselves that we can do better. That's all this is. That's what introspection is. And that's what this kind of constructive criticism is. To remind ourselves that we can do better. Let's see if we can read another text here. 325-4316, 325-4316. Hit me up on the text, 422-4796. Grant, Airbnb should be given concessions along with apartments. Absolutely. You could tax me and you never give me no concession. That's crazy. I got to bring all the quilt, all the towel, all the toilet paper, all the soap. Everything I had to pay for that to bring here. I got to pay for these things to put it in there to ensure that my guest is accommodated accordingly. The water that they use to bathe with, I got to pay for that. The electricity, I have to pay for that. I'm giving these guests 4 and 5 different things. And I don't know about y'all, but I don't know any Airbnbs. And you can tell me, please text me and let me know. But I don't know if the Airbnb is providing you. At the hotel, we give you room rate, government tax, and service charges. That's what you get. So if your room rate was $100, then you pay a certain percentage for government tax and then service charges on top of that. I think the government tax was, when I left, about 12% at the time. All right? So you pay room rate, government tax, and then the service charge was $30 or some a night, every night. Do you charge service charge and government tax in your Airbnb? Or you just give them the flat room rate? Let's just be clear about this. We don't get concessions. And it's raping and robbing the Bahamian people. Because the only reason any of us, many of us, have opened up our homes is not because of the goodness of our hearts. It's because of the necessities of our environment. And if we're living like this, we need an opportunity, man. There must be an alleviant.
the Fallout administration has identified the inner city zone to be tax-free, and you could bring in ports for that. When there is a issue with a hurricane, if you lost something, they give you an opportunity to do these things. But they've never considered these things, but they're taking money. There must be a consideration for that. There must be a consideration for that. Because we need to remain buoyant as a society. Let's take a telephone call. Caller, you're on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Good day, Howard. How are you?
I'm fantastic, man. What's up?
Wonderfully, and happy New Year's to you, too.
Man, I appreciate it. Same to you and yours.
Now, you didn't get settled in a couple of days, right?
I ready to jam.
Good, because this foundation I can put down on you, you're going to need a backhoe to dig this up.
Let's go. Are you writing?
You and Desi, I don't know what to call you. You and Desi, I don't know what to call y'all. The last time you was on Guardian Radio, you had to help me out with thing, and I was so excited about that. You leave me hanging. Twice I called you, help me out with. And I, the next thing I hear, Bushcraft Howard gone.
No, well, I only can help you when I get the money. So
I didn't need no money. You called me.
Well, I still got the line, and we're in a strategic position, and we just pray that everything goes well. So I'll open it up.
That's how the Lord's work, because you broke off running to them other people, but you shouldn't have gone in the first place. But God bring you right back, so you can finish help me.
Glory to God.
You understand what it
is? I'm right here. Okay.
Good. I just want to officially welcome you back.
I appreciate
and let you,
you
know
my
you
brother.
Got some loose ends that we can tie up.
I can tie it up, my brother.
Okay.
I appreciate you, my brother.
Okay, man. All right.
Thank you, man. Thank you so much, man. I appreciate the telephone call. Ladies and gentlemen, give me a call or give me a cuss. 325-4316, 325-4316. Or hit me up on the text, 422-4796. 422-4796. It's a good day, Howard. Tying your conversation today with the recent death of a youngster in Mason's Addition. I'm just reading that, you know. I read it. Just came through on the Guardian News about 15, maybe 20-some minutes ago. Let me see if I can pull it up right now so you can know for those who didn't have a chance to get it. So it's on Guardian. You can check it out on the Guardian News. 18-year-old collapsed and dies during basketball game. This is an 18-year-old woman collapsed and died on the basketball court in Park and Mason's Addition during a basketball game this morning. Chief Superintendent Chris Lynn Skipping said police said that the victim did not complain about feeling ill before she collapsed. Obviously, something went wrong and she collapsed. This is what Skipping said on the scene. And we're going to have an autopsy performed to find out what exactly went wrong and why she collapsed. Skipping said that it was not immediately clear whether the victim had a medical condition. The 18-year-old was a resident of Mason's Addition. Bystanders were visibly shaken by her death. Skipping says that the matter has been classified as a sudden death for now. It's heavy, man. I mean, it's kind of hard to tie this in to the conversation about introspection. But the only way I can do that is to be able to attach it to the fact that we need better healthcare. As a people, as a nation, access and opportunity for better healthcare. I was considering, I tell you, it was a time, maybe last year, my cousin could tell you, I was considering to go, trying to go to Canada. I say, oh Lord, what's the next move, right? And I kind of deduced this. When I was 30, I moved to Nassau, right? In my 30s, right? I moved to Nassau. In my 20s, I had an opportunity to go off to the States and in Cuba, right? And I said that this is another decade in my life. Is this a time that I'm going to be moving to elsewhere? So I started to do some studies. I try to be able to reach out to see if I can go to Canada, see if I can go to California, what I can do. And the first thing I'm confronted with is, he said, Canada's a beautiful place. You can make a lot of money. But taxes is almost 50%. I say, what? So how would you make $100,000? You're only making 50 or maybe less. I say, what? They say, yeah, because they take care of everything for you. They take care of your kids. They take care of your medical expenses. They take care of this. They take care of that. So, you know, and then the infrastructure of the city is good. Transportation, they have all these things, but you're paying for those things. So I said, well, you know, so you consider those particular things. The cost of living here is extremely high, and there's no access and opportunity for you to be able to get good health care. Now, we know that the government is doing some things. We know that, and we're happy that they're making strides towards it. But there needs to be more emphasis, man. There needs to be more done. Because when we read issues like this, an 18-year-old who hasn't had a significant checkup or who hasn't, I don't know the background, so I can't tie it in like that. But the only thing I can say, there must have been a pre-existing condition that everyone was oblivious to, that we just didn't know. Only way we can fix that and rectify that is make it affordable for persons to be able to see the doctor. Let's see if we can be able to take the telephone call. Calling on the line with us live, this is The Foundation with Howard Grant. Go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, Mr. Howard Grant.
Hey, how you doing, man?
I'm okay, man. I hope you're doing all right. You know, you got a big shoes to fill with the departure of my boy, Warren, right?
Yeah, man, absolutely.
He was the closest thing you all had to a scientific journalist. He had an open mind, and he would hear people out.
Yes.
And he would agree with me sometimes, even though I fight in the status quo foolishness, right? Narratives, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, my heart goes out to the 18-year-old lady from Mason Edition. I have some friends in that area, right?
Yeah.
I wouldn't say anything. But I hope she was not vaccinated, right? Because facts are coming out and lies are still prevailing, right? These false narratives. Yeah, it is not. Well, one thing I liked about Warren was he would always give me credence when it was due. And so, when it was due, right? So I really appreciated that. But now that you're talking about healthcare, right? When I was always calling for a scientific journalist or an ombudsman, people really couldn't see what level I was on. Now, this talk about healthcare, it's clear or overt that they don't care. I could come up with 50 reasons why I could tell you they don't care about the human people now. And I was always trying to figure out why is it that they don't have an MRI machine in the hospital, mm-hmm. even at a lower cost, right,
mm-hmm.
for people to get mRNA scans so that they can avoid catastrophic illnesses, catch illnesses in their initial stages. So the fact that I had a fiance, I have a 5-month-old son, Howard. Mm. So these women are going in the hospital and coming out, and they're not giving them ultrasound or scans. They went there subsequently after the birth. They said, well, they had this particular problem. The ultrasound machine was down. They said they have to go do it privately because it'll take them a year or so before they'll be able to do the ultrasound. So the same thing with the CAT scan, and then there's no MRI. So here's why I'm saying that they don't care. An MRI will avoid a lot of other invasive procedures. So if in order for me to avoid, let's say with the prostate, right, they have the biopsy, which is very invasive and very painful.
Mm-hmm.
And it is counterproductive. So you have a lot of invasive procedures. I don't need to mention them. That mm-hmm. an MRI mm-hmm. an MRI could avoid.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that the doctors want to keep this monopoly, I can never forgive them for that because they should put an MRI machine in the hospital so that people should be able to pay $500, $600, anything lesser than $1,500 that I could go and catch a flight with Miami, go down 27 and get the MRI for $400 or et cetera, whatever, right? So when you look at the way the pregnancy ward was set up, like I said, the fact that the hospitals don't have the ultrasound machine and women are having births and then they get up these fibroid tissues and these other complications in the uterus after pregnancy because my girlfriend was bleeding and complain about pain and they send her back home without doing an ultrasound. And the fact that they could send home pregnant women having baby pre or post without ultrasound and the hospital not having that capacity to do these things, right? It's a gross injustice to the people. So the fact that I have a little scientific knowledge, right? It hurts me that you're not getting much. You have a few doctors who really just bear with me when I voice these concerns. But the lack of the lack of consciousness, you don't know what to ask for to determine what is good health care. And so no one is smarter than the collective. I am a part of the collective. So that means that when you're having conversations and you're shielding the collective from talking to these doctors on the radio, like me right now, right? If Dr. Darwin was to come on the radio and I was to have, like, sit with him like on a live TV show, I'd eat him to pieces, you know. You know why? And just having a conversation with any doctor, I figure they should know more than me, general knowledge, because science has many different paradigms. So when I question you and talk to you, sometimes I know the answer, but I just looking to see if they know it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because no one knows what is nobody here, and nobody knows what someone has read. And all of this time, 52 was being ridiculed and put down on the radio. C.A. Newey is the only person to apologize for me. And Warren McCarthy is the only person to give me credence. along with Dr. Archer. So the fact that what I've been saying, I want you guys to go back in your archives and you can pull up one instance in which what I was incorrect about, because it hurts me. I hear us Delaware call and talk about the prophet is not recognizing his own time. I'm not a prophet, and I'm not a seer, and I'm not a clairvoyant. All right? But what I'm saying is, I want the collective have the ability to know the truth when they hear it.
Yeah.
Because I was given up the truth, and it's most hurtful for me that I was taught. I was trying to show the hating collective. It was no reason for me to call and give disinformation or wrong information. It didn't benefit me none.
Yeah.
I'm not a doctor. I'm non-funded.
Mm-hmm.
But you guys have to see where I'm coming from. Otherwise, I heard Dwight yesterday morning, you know. But he would not call my name, and he would not apologize to me. You know why? Because everybody going away to school, and they still fool, and they thinking they
well, don't. Well, 52.
Yeah, man, listen, my brother. That's how I feel. I only talk with me, Howard.
Yeah, no, I know, and I accept that.
I said, Howard, I'm going to do a favor. Hey, let my brother Jim Elliott for me, you know. Tell him to get this
right
on the way so I could be a part of this paradigm where he could really make some money, man.
Texting me right now. I'll do that.
Bless
52.
Up. Come on, respect,
I appreciate you, man. Thanks so much for your telephone call. You know my style. You know my style, right? There's only one person over my time in radio that I have had to kind of separate myself from just for a little time and a half. And that was Amos. Amos know that. And he and I had a conversation because I thought it was it wasn't progressive the way that we had these kind of conversations. But, you know, both he and I are men, and we had a very clear conversation, and I don't have no problem with him. He called the other day. So let me just get some of these texts up before we can do that, right? What I'm saying is that I want to give you an opportunity, anyone an opportunity, if you can make sense here, if you're not rambling on into another conversation, there's a space here for you, and we want to be able to do that. I think everyone should have a voice, and I think that's what we're here for. So know that I ain't gonna shut nobody down. But we can have good conversations. There we go. This is, thank the Lord, you're giving me a feeling of hope. That's a text that came through. It says, good morning, sir. At 5:51, I got a call that a family member ran over a unlit medium without reflectors. Wow. 5:51, you got a call that a family member ran over an unlit medium without reflectors. Wow. We got to be able to do that. Let me know the area that you're from or that you're in so I can text that back to me, please. Let me know the area that you're in. Let's talk about those particular things and so we can be able to get that to the Ministry of Works. All right? Since I was referring to the view that locals have the internal rebranding like that American dream, we should have a shared Bahamian dream that requires a cultural shift. Okay. Says Howard. I have, Howard, if Airbnb owners were serious about not being taxed, they could have just organized themselves and fight any efforts by government to tax them. I agree with you 100%. But Bahamian people don't collect them collectively fight. There's talk. We row. If you look up in the sky, like if you watch Lucy, did you watch Lucy? You look up in the sky, you could see all the words and cuss words and how everybody, but collectively no one can talk about this and work towards it. Right? Says Howard. I have been trying to reach consumer protection, but the phone kept ringing. Do you know where I can get help? Thank you. I don't know, but we can put this down. I'll write that down and see if we can make modifications or, you know, reach somebody for you. I know they definitely listen. It says, Howard, tourism for us is like oil for the Saudis. Our problem is we do not own the industry. Whose fault is it? Is it ours? We as a nation decided that we would not put in the capital to own this industry. Persons with the money would rather go into retail. On a second point, the Bahamas is the best run black nation in the world. We make mistakes, but our sovereignty and stability is well intact. Our proximity has been a major asset, and we have exploited. Going forward, I would have hoped that every FDI, foreign direct investor, that happens in the country, that locally incorporated countries should be at least 40% owned through shares, but the Bahamians 9%. By Bahamians 9%, but the government has 51% by the investors. Okay. It's a good text. It says, afternoon, Howard. Boy, if the young lady playing basketball took a jab,
It could be possibly the reason she fell out. We saw that in the NFL the other day. That's bananas. The guy had a cardiac arrest and was able to revive him. I just read some stories about the possibility that he's doing well, but nothing official has come out just yet. So we don't know. We could spot. Jumping the curb, it was over at Robinson Road between the streets and Market Street. Robinson Road between 3rd Street and Market Street. All right. So some of these things that we're going to have to be able to send over to the Ministry of Works so we can get these things rectified. The desire that I have is to not only just provide casual conversation to fill a void between the hours of 12 and 2 whilst you're eating your hot dog sandwich or what, I don't know what you have, noodles for lunch? What did you have for lunch today, right? Noodles or whatever you're eating for lunch. Whilst you're eating those things and being entertained with this kind of a space and all I am is in your air, the idea I have is to pour something into you and activate something so we can move something in the country. I just want to be gum bussing. I want to make some things happen. And I can only do that with a collective desire to move forward. So when you call, let's call with a very clear understanding of constructive criticism and how we can do this. I'm not here to pull down people and cuss people. I told y'all, I've been big all my life. I had one little stand of being slim. It was a little stand. It didn't happen long. I eat one piece of cake and bam, it came right back, right? I know what it is to be ridiculed. And so because I've received that, I don't seek to give that to nobody. That's not my style. Constructive criticism about where we need to be is what I want to do. Ladies and gentlemen, I thank you so much. Next week, we have some great things for you. I'm going to talk to you more about it tomorrow. I had a mom. I should be able to announce two things to you. Some major, major persons that are going to be coming through just to be able to talk about those things. It says, occupants safe, but vehicles severely damaged, and I could have lost a child. Wow. A grandchild today. So we're just happy that you're okay. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you all to stick and stay for Z Live. But I want you to remember, kind of engage with each other. Let's do so with constructive criticism. I'm not here to provide the exact same conversation others are. Let's kind of trouble the waters at the Gate Beautiful and make some things happen. Guys, thank you so very kindly for tuning in, for being a part of the conversation. We'll see you tomorrow. Let me see if I can read one or two of these texts. Jesus. So it's hospitality and tourism is the 9th or the 10th largest industry in the world. Please have whoever says leave hospitality and tourism to name the number 1 to 10 industry that they want us to be replacing with. Clearly, you don't leave the top 10 largest to say go into, let's say, the 15 largest. Second name, the resources to support the industry. Let's see if we can get to that, right? All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're out of here. We're going to see you tomorrow, right? We're going to see you tomorrow at the same time, same place. This is The Foundation, only on Guardian Radio 96.9. Have a beautiful time. Stay stick and stay for Z Live right after this.
The Foundation.